We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Because there are more better quarterbacks.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards, heading up until 2 o'clock. We'll hear from the Chiefs later on this hour. Of course, it'll be a lot about the Bengals game a year ago, or less than a year ago. The one that's very forgettable. Just an awful day. Awful day in Kansas City. Talking with Cynthia Freeland now, NFL Network analytics expert, who we had a conversation with after that game as well, that we were forced to talk about it, Cynthia. But you know what? It became therapeutic to talk about it that week. And I watched the game again, Cynthia, last night for the first time, because there's no reason for me to watch it again after the end of the season. And it was therapeutic as well, again, to kind of, you know, move on and kind of get over that thing and get ready for 2022 and not feel like if you beat the Bengals, then that also counts for winning in the AFC Championship game, damn it. Ha-ha!
Look, but it doesn't. That game was an interesting one, but you got to remember this time around, there's a couple of major differences. Number one, there's a bunch of injuries to that Bengals defense that when I look at the Bengals run last season, right, we made a whole big thing on game day morning this past week about how the Bengals stats was pretty similar going into week 12. And then, of course, you know, week 12, they get that win over Tennessee, which was maybe more likely that Tennessee lost that one. I mean, roughing the center, like there's random stuff, like crazy stuff, right? So, you know, the defense is incredibly banged up. Their O-line, they spent a lot of money, but I don't know if I think it's significantly improved. And I do think that we will see Ja'Marr Chase play, but I don't know. The deep pass has not looked quite the same.
Yeah, I want to talk more about this game in a little bit with you and sort of get your thoughts. And obviously I want to hear the prediction of what the simulation says. But one of the things we've talked about is the importance of this game, not just sort of, you know, exorcising any demons that might be there or the Chiefs wanting to get back at the Bengals or anything like that. It's significant because I don't know what the simulations and the percentages would say, but I'd have to feel like it's a pretty strong percentage that if the Chiefs were to get by the Bengals this weekend and get a win and be 10-2 with their remaining schedule, that it's, you know, not all but it's a strong, high percentage of the Chiefs getting the one seed if they win on Sunday.
Yeah, the Chiefs' schedule is at the beginning of the season, we thought it was quite front-loaded. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, a number of these teams weren't exactly who we thought they were. The Rams, you know, maybe being the biggest example of that, because if you would have told me ahead of the season that, you know, it'd be Bryce Perkins when you saw the Chiefs, like, I don't think anyone would have believed me. So, you know, that, like, obviously you see that happen, and now it's like, okay, well, they got through what was perceived to be the hard part, and if they can get past this test, it does feel like a really strong, and the model does forecast a very strong likelihood that the bye and the number one seed belong to Kansas City should they get through this game.
How surprising is that to you? You know, going back to the beginning of the season, we've kind of talked about this a little bit too the last couple of weeks on the show, in that, you know, this was thought to be kind of a step back season, a little step back season for the Chiefs in terms of their own internal personnel and how good they can be while other teams were making big steps up to, lessen that gap that's there, you know, narrow the gap between the Chiefs and Bills and then everybody else. And in a year where that was thought to be the case, we're, you know, 12 weeks into the season and the Chiefs are the heavy favorites to, you know, get the one seed or be the one or two seed. And they have now surpassed the Bills at DraftKings for the, winning the conference and now the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. in a year where we thought they would take a step back, you know, how surprised would you have been at the beginning of the season? And maybe not at all, I don't know. But how surprised would you have been at the beginning of the season if you said, look, the AFC West, how good it is, the Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill, they got a bunch of rookies. But 12 weeks in, they'll be 9-2 and have the number one seed by a full game, and they'll be facing off against the Bengals. And if they win that one, they're probably the one seed, and they're the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would have been like, I think it's a little nuts. I don't think anyone forecast this Russell Wilson nightmare that was, I think most people thought that, you know, they would at least be competitive, but the Broncos have been pretty non-competitive. I think, you know, look, I think every year injuries are always a problem. And while the Chargers have a really strong roster, it seems like they can't keep the same starters or a consistent set of starters on the field year over year. They have, I mean, if you were to look at that thing on paper and then what gets fielded, it's just markedly different. So that's interesting too. And then of course, you know, the Raiders, I think maybe some people were high on the Raiders because of Devontae Adams, but like I have receipts there that I still thought they were going to be fourth. But I also think that, you know, nobody really expected the Jets to have the season that they've had. And kind of that surprise situation there in the East did make things more enticing. And then while the Dolphins were sort of like a bubble, nobody really knew what to expect from Tua. They've outperformed, I think, what, you know, season expectations ahead of the season were for them. So, you know, it's just a good example of how in the NFL, then the worst team to the first team is not as big of a difference as it seems. And each one of those wins are really important. So, you know, some of those games that the Bills dropped that, and I say dropped because it, confounding weird. I mean, they almost lost to the Lions, which is, you know, an interesting one, right? So, and they've got a bunch of injuries too. So, between the injury bug and a little bit of just little tiny slivers of difference. I mean, look, the Jets defense was the worst in the NFL last season. And to go from worst to top 10 in almost every category, that doesn't often happen. So, you know, like, those are the types of things that, you know, that create significant differences in everyone's season.
Who's the biggest threat in the AFC behind the Chiefs and the Bills, do you think?
You know, it's going to sound weird because they obviously lost last week, but there's something about the Ravens. Like, the Ravens and the Dolphins, to me, both have some really interesting notes about each one. And the Ravens, they can't seem to field a completely healthy team either. So it'll be interesting. If they get Ronnie Stanley back at left tackle, that just really changed the ability for Lamar Jackson to run. And they just get one or two of those guys. Remember, Mark Andrews has been out for a number of games. And if he can start catching some passes reliably and stay on the field, like that changes things for the Ravens. And same thing with the Dolphins. If their secondary can get a little bit healthier, they obviously have all those weapons in Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. It seems like they're in a good space now with Tua being, you know, just very, very productive and very reliable. So the two of them have like these, you know, this profile of like, if you played the game 10 times, you know the Bills and Chiefs are going to come out ahead in terms of the number of wins, but you could get that one random day where, you know, maybe it'd be 70% of the time it would be Chiefs or Bills win, but you can get that one random day where the 30% happens. And that's kind of how that division feels, or that whole conference feels.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert, is our guest. So let's talk about the Chiefs. One of the conversations we've had this week and topics we've been discussing is, you know, the punt return, and Sky Moore is not going to be returning punts anymore. I can't imagine that would be the case with his third muffed punt, but he's been just fine as a wide receiver, so I'm good with him staying at that spot. I am team fair catch everything, especially when Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I am team, you know, credit one of the callers we had earlier this season that said punt return should be like the Hippocratic Oath, at first do no harm. Make sure no matter what, Patrick Mahomes touches the ball once the defense gets a stop. What is the risk reward of the punt return versus do you muff it? Is there a penalty? Is it too extreme of the fair catch every time, you know, team that I am on? Is that too extreme of a stance to have? And are there tangible advantages to being able to return a punt and get those extra yards?
Over the long run, the risk reward situation for, you know, the fair catch every time versus trying to run it back, like you're totally right. The problem is that teams are trying to win now, and a lot of times, you know, and this might not sound like the nicest thing ever, but a lot of times the people who play on teams aren't necessarily your starters, and they're not necessarily guys who you're fielding in your regular set for. You know, and you're looking for a spark. You're looking for something different. If you're going to throw a guy out there who is one of your regular, you know, one of your 11 offensive starters or whatever, you know, then you're going to ask them to do something special. You're asking them to create a difference in the game. And it is a source of injuries. It's a source of, you know, they've obviously been tinkering with the rules for a while now. So there's clearly something there that's like not great, but not every team, remember, has Patrick Mahomes. So you got to these rules aren't made for just the Chiefs, right? Like they're made for everyone. So, you know, it's interesting. Like we were talking about the Jets, right? The Jets have been great on special teams, which has been helping them between their defense and special teams before they switched to Mike White. Like they were kind of getting these weird statistics where like they were like one of the only teams since, you know, the merger where they didn't even have like a 75 passer rating and were managing to win games. So those are the types of teams that need it. If you're the Chiefs, you don't necessarily need it. And it's just like a we've done this forever type of thing.
Well, and we looked it up. Josh looked it up. Top 10 in the NFL in punt return yardage is just under 10 yards per punt return, which is a first down, which I think matters for a lot of teams, but may not matter as much for the Chiefs. I mean, look, a 60-yard touchdown drive is easier than a 70-yard touchdown drive. But I think over the course of the season, that can almost become negligible with the Chiefs specifically, whereas Sky Moore is averaging 6 yards per punt return, but you don't know if he's going to catch it or not. And, you know, if he was top 10, he would be picking up 3.5 yards more per punt return.
Yep.
And so does that matter, those 3.5 yards, or even just the 10 yards overall to go from fair catching it with a team like Patrick Mahomes? And let me offer the devil's advocate, which the afternoon show has brought up. And he said, and I think it's an interesting one to talk with you about. And he said, well, you know, he'll play devil's advocate and say, I'll make a case that it would be more worthwhile with Patrick Mahomes that you would take more chances and return the punts and get bigger, you know, difference-making plays because Mahomes is a player that can overcome a mistake that may happen in the game. So it might be more advantageous, whereas a muffed punt could be a death knell for another team. Does that make sense, the devil's advocate to the, well, Patrick Mahomes, maybe you do take more chances because it's Mahomes as opposed to less risk, just put 15 out there?
You know, I think, again, each game is a different situation. Maybe the best way to say is, like you're lucky this is the problem that you have because, like, a lot of teams think this isn't even, like, in consideration, right?
Yeah, right.
So when I'm looking at, you know, you'd have to say, like, the situational aspect of it, like, are you playing in a playoff game and, you know, this is a team that I think of like some Tennessee games in the playoffs where like they're just a ball control type of situation and now you're down and you need an extra, whatever, so maybe you take a different tack at that point. But I think, you know, I would say like, let's not like, sure, Patrick can overcome flaws on special teams, but like, do you really want that to be like the thing he's doing? Because like, I don't know if that's where, I think if you were to ask Andy Reid, like, okay, you know, don't, you know, not a specific game, you know, not this specific game, like not this Tennessee down situation where the ball control against you, but rather, you know, just what's going on in general. Like, are you, you know, what would you really in a neutral moment say? He would be like, no, like, we're not going to do that. Like, let's just take the catch and move on. That would be my guess, because, you know, go with the thing that ensures like the best opportunity for you to call a play that would make sense, not rely on some sort of problem to change the game script in any way.
Visiting with Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. So goal-to-go situation is something that came up in the game against the Rams. The last three times the Chiefs went down inside the red zone, they had goal-to-go situations, and they came out 0-for-3 with touchdowns, including a turnover in there as well. This is not something that has been an issue for the Chiefs this year, so it's not like I'm, you know, saying, well, how do they fix this? But I'm just curious, like, goal-to-go situations, is it, you know, is there a lot of noise in there? Is there a consistency from year to year where maybe third down or red zone percentage may float back and forth from year to year? Is it noise, or is there something that is quantifiable for teams that are good or bad when it comes to converting goal-to-go situations into touchdowns?
I think goal-to-go situations matter. I think that in that specific case, Like, look at the play that was called. You think that's Andy Reid's best? Like, you think that, like, you think he's showing you his best opportunity to convert? Or do you think he's saying, all right, this game is in hand. We're going to do the thing that makes the most sense for us to not put on paper against our next opponents? Because remember, the way that most people prep for games is to watch the four previous games that the team has played and then maybe one or two games that, you know, that have, like, against them previously. You think he's going to give Lou Anarumo a heads up on what his goal-to-go situations are against the Bengals next week? Because I certainly know he's not.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that has to do with what was called and why it was called, as opposed to, like, we should look at these as indicative of, like, what they're mm-hmm. really trying to do. The situation didn't dictate that they needed anything special there. So why would you show them the special stuff that you have cooking, especially in a season where we've seen Patrick Mahomes throw take the fewest deep attempts we've seen in a while? Are you going to try to show anything special that might be a clue as to where they're going next?
Yeah, that was something that came up on Monday, is just how vanilla that was. Was it vanilla? Was it something that Andy Reid, the Chiefs? I know they had the handoff to Sky Moore, throwing back to Mahomes and then throwing the ball. I mean, that was, so it's like, could they be vanilla if they threw that play out there? Yeah, they can, because they can put that play out there and say, hey, you know what, now that's on film. So when somebody goes in motion, maybe you should worry about the backside. That doesn't necessarily mean this guy's going to turn the corner and go for the end zone. He may turn and throw it back to Mahomes, who may throw it down the field. So just something else to worry about, while other plays were, yeah, let's just hand the ball off. Because late in the game, the goal-to-go situation, when they got to first and goal at the 9, they hand the ball off 3 times. They picked up 5 yards with Pacheco against the Rams defense, but the Rams knew they were going to run it. Chiefs knew, were perfectly fine running it, kick the field goal, go up 16, cover, and then win the game. So I don't really put too much into that final goal-to-go situation. And again, they have converted this year. Mahomes has converted this year. So I don't think it's an issue specifically for the Chiefs. I was just curious how much it's just noise in general that may happen one game to the next where, boy, you were 1-for-3 in goal-to-go situations and you were 4-for-4 last week. And, is it what that defense did? Is it one way or another? Or is it, you made a play in this game, you didn't make a play in that one, this defense ran that, and so sometimes it fluctuates and it's not necessarily a stat or something that week in and week out is something you can hang your hat on.
Oh yeah, league wide, absolutely not. Especially because the Lions have think about the Lions specifically. They're just never in goal to go situations. So I mean, if you only have 7 attempts, of course your stats are going to look weird. And then so a lot of the context that's needed needs to give you to enough. You need to roll the dice enough times for it to be something where the number of N, right, the attempts is large enough for the data to actually tell you something. So that's the type of thing where, and of course the type of defense matters, but also so does the score and so does the time left. And, does the clock manage, I think of the Colts clock management on Monday. I know they weren't in a goal-to-go situation, but that clock management was very poor. You think that's the same thing's going to happen again? No, I would imagine that they won't do that again, which means that one piece of data, it was great for that particular game for the opposing team, for the Steelers, but it's not going to be indicative of, you can't rely on someone to make crazy decisions going forward.
Visiting with Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. So trying to think of a way to bring this up in discussion with you and ask the question of, the bigger impact would be between, say, trading Tyreek Hill, which they did, and got draft picks back, and having Patrick Mahomes on the offense and seeing the offense is really good. And then one of the conversations that's come up this year in how dominant Chris Jones has been. He's got 1 year left on his contract next year, so you're either going to trade him or extend him, because I would guess he would hold out and want a new contract and be the highest paid defensive tackle because it's his turn. And he is playing brilliant football right now, just dominant football, the best of his career, so he's earned it. The Tyreek Hill trade took place, and we see that now, what the offense looks like in having different guys to throw to and stuff like that. Is Chris Jones and trading him in the same boat of, well, you save the cap space and you get the draft picks and you can use them elsewhere, or is it actually a more detrimental to the Chiefs' defense losing Chris Jones than it was to the Chiefs' offense losing Tyreek Hill?
So the value value of Chris Jones to the defense is significantly more impactful than Tyreek Hill. Now, I will say, life is always about substitutes and what you think you can do for it. So, and we have to give Brett Veach so much credit because he's clearly had great drafts where he's found, you know, deals and steals and he's figured it out. But replacing someone, it's like, look, Patrick changes the way that the offense is run, and Chris Jones changed the way that the defense is run. So I don't have the list of available substitutes for how they view they could, you know, recreate this situation for them. I will say there are spaces where the defense could improve, absolutely, but I don't think you get the same net benefit of not signing him as you do Tyreek Hill. And all credit to Tyreek, he's a wonderful receiver. Like, everybody knows that. There's no denying that he changed the opportunity for Tua Tagovailoa completely. But the reality is that the available substitutes at the wide receiver position just are so much stronger than the available substitutions at the defensive tackle position, especially for this type of defense in this division, in this conference.
Yeah, the way he's playing right now, I went into this year thinking this was the last year for Chris Jones as a Chief. And, 12 weeks into the season, and I'm thinking there's no way you can not have Chris Jones on the team next year and the year after that and the year after that. And also, it seems like, you get to that age 30. The three in front, the three being the first number in your age, is significant in the NFL. Is it, is it as significant now as it used to be? Are we seeing defensive tackles and even defensive ends play at a higher level longer than we've seen him in the past, to where, a 1980s, 1990s defensive tackle that's 30, 31 is not the same as a 2022, 2023, 24 defensive tackle that's 30, 31, 32 years old, which is what Chris Jones would be if they extend him this offseason?
Yeah, you're seeing huge differences, like, at every position about longevity and the ability for people to play longer. Now, I will say there's an asterisk there because certain injuries, you have to always, certain injuries do not forecast for great longevity. So they just don't. But if you don't have those injuries, the overall number of years that you're having really productive, really amazing seasons is great. And especially, like, Chris Jones, think about what he needs to do, right? He needs to burst off the line of scrimmage very, very fast. He doesn't need to have, like, endurance to run, like, 60 routes in a game at top speed. So even though that burst is, it's different muscle fibers and twitch and all these different things that, like, people who are very well versed in this stuff can tell you better than me. But I do notice, and there is, it can be less effective for longer for people who have to run, like, endurance distances and endure hits as well. That is a harder, that one, it is, like, it's going to be much rarer to see a receiver with top end speed last in this to the same degree and length of time as a position where you're asking for more quick bursts and twitch, because they have to remember, they have to run for a long time and get hit, whereas this guy's just getting power, quick power, and hit. So it's also, there's some positional value in that as well.
What are the injuries that you said, certain injuries impact the longevity for a player? What are the injuries that you look at and say are the impactful ones for longevity?
Achilles injuries have been really, really hard for people to have, like, come back from. Not to say that they can't, but just the, people who tear Achilles have harder times. And then certain types of, like, if you have two ACLs before a certain age, or two, the same ACL in the same leg twice, that one can be hard as well. It changes your top end speed.
Interesting. Cynthia Freeland, our guest, NFL Network analytics expert. All right, what do you think of the Chiefs and Bengals game coming up on Sunday in this matchup of two of the bigger contenders in the AFC?
I think Ja'Marr Chase comes back, and I think that that's an interesting one because, we've seen him not play for a couple of weeks. And I think that the offense will be fun. It's going to be a fun game to watch, but it'll be even more fun if you're a Chiefs fan than if you're a Bengals fan. And I know that the game takes place in Cincinnati, so they'll get the firsthand look at it. But I don't think that there's any way that this defense, especially missing Chidobe Awuzie, is going to be able to handle all the different things that happen. And I was even looking, and I even think that I know he's been folded in because he's been hurt, but I think this is like a Juju Smith-Schuster touchdown game.
Okay. Juju Smith-Schuster anytime touchdown game. Okay. Mm-hmm. Have that one. Is there a margin, a range of Chiefs winning this one?
I do. Hold on. I can look it up right now for you, because I did this one already. I know that it is a nice one. I think I want to say five, but I just want to double check for you on this one. Yeah, no, I have four. So it's 29.6 to 25.6. So 4 points. That's, I understand the point six throws people off, but it's a 4 point win.
No, I mean, you can get a, why can't you get a 0.6 point? I think you should be able to.
You know, people get real mad about that, and I'm like, guys, it's the expected value on each drive that it turns into a touchdown or a field goal versus the expected value that it doesn't.
You know what? I think if you are 60% of the way in for a field goal, like if it hits the upright and it barely misses, you know what? That's 0.6 of a point. You know, you should get, right. If you hit the upright, it's 0.5.
Think about that would do for gambling. Are you kidding me? Now a half point in a game, suddenly that hook.
Now you're just tying. Now
exactly.
There's no bet.
Yeah.
I had them over under 29.6, They hit 29, so now it's a no bet. I just wish Butker would have had it just a little bit more inside the goalpost, because then it would have been 29.7, but it was not. So a 4 point win for the Chiefs, and that's, you know, that's significant when you're talking about a team on the road against a Bengals team that's pretty good, winning by that margin in your simulations.
Yep. So yeah, look, remember, people, again, simulations are interesting because, like, obviously no one's going to score the number those points. People get so mad at me all the time when I mention, who scored 25 to 22? And I'm like, no, that's the way simulations work. Like, you're not going to get a normal number. It means, like, the most likely score is probably, in reality, the most likely score is probably something like 28 to 21, you know, so a more football score, right? Like, a more, like, a normal number score. But that's not what always happens, right? You play the game a million times, you're going to get a million different results, right? So the reality is, like, what are the average of all of those results?
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. Cynthia, great stuff as always. Very much appreciate the time. Enjoy the football, and looking forward to our conversation next week.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
Absolutely. You too. There's Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. 4 point win for the Chiefs. So maybe not 29.6 to 25.4. Maybe closer to something like 31-27 or 28-24 around that, which would seem, you know, it's probably where I think this one will end up, but we'll find out. Doesn't really matter to me what the final is, just simply win the game. It will be interesting to see what the conversation is on Monday, because there is an element going into the game that it's like, I don't really care. Just win. If you win 10-7, you win 10-7. You win 7-6, you win 7-6. No injuries or anything. Talking about that on Monday, you win, and then you look at the last five games of the regular season that's left for the Chiefs, and what the odds are of them, you know, getting the number one seed if you just find a way to win this game by 1 point.
I think you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I also think we might be the outliers for reasons that we can keep digging into this week.
Okay. You're an outright liar.
I think this game's going to be a funky one.
All right.
For fans, even.
Okay.
A funky one to lead
funky
up to
fans.
And then hopefully enjoy. Let's get funky.
Let's do it. We'll take a timeout.
Funky.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and continue. Funky. We'll hear from the Chiefs coming up in about 20, 25 minutes from now out at Arrowhead. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
It would have been just killed a spider that was crawling on the table here. Take that, spider. Huh? Yeah. In your face. Punk.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. 4 point win she has for the Chiefs against the Bengals. So winning and covering for the Chiefs this weekend. 325 CBS for Chiefs and Bengals. So, impact of special teams over the long run, the team fair catch over the course of the entire season is the right play. The risk reward, that if you're going through the entire season and you fair catch every single punt, you come out positive on that. Individual games, though, maybe you need that spark. Maybe you don't. Maybe you need something to happen on special teams and it becomes a net negative just to simply fair catch everything thrown your way. Also, Chris Jones will be at the podium today along with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones. So we'll hear from two guys that did a lot of blaming of themselves in the Bengals game last year in Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones. Andy Reid also did, but he does that each and every loss. when in reality it's like, you know, the losses, certainly the coaches, you know, will take the blame for. But Chris Jones talked about in the offseason about missing the sacks and what that meant. And Patrick Mahomes talked about the offseason about how terrible he played in the second half. So coincidentally, Chris Jones talking today, because outside of the special teams conversation, the goal to go situation, or a conversation that we talked about with Cynthia Freeland, the value of Chris Jones on the Chiefs defense, and if they go into this offseason and end up with the same strategy that they ultimately went with this past offseason in trading their stud player on the final year of a contract, who wants an extension and wants a whole lot of money and to be the highest paid player at his position, that it was not in the cap, it was not in the plan to be able to pay him that much money. It became you know, untenable in terms of them being able to have a full 53-man roster. They felt with Tyreek Hill making that much money, they traded him, they got picks back, and they had to readjust. That obviously was significant and was a big, big narrative this offseason. And all we've seen is Patrick Mahomes have an MVP season, and the Chiefs offense look really, really good, and be putting up numbers as, you know, one of, if not the best offenses in the NFL. But it's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask Cynthia about Chris Jones is Tyreek Hill's impact on the Chiefs offense is big, but Patrick Mahomes is there. Chris Jones' impact on the Chiefs defense, but who is there after that? And her response was, Chris Jones' value is significantly more impactful on the Chiefs defense than Tyreek Hill's was on the Chiefs offense. Significantly more impactful, which would say, then shouldn't you be prioritizing him to a significant degree on how much he wants, how much you'd be willing to pay him to take care of him, so that a 29-year-old Chris Jones returns next year. And the next 3 years, it's 29, 30, 31 years old. And in today's day and age, that's not as old as we've seen in traditionally that 30-year-old number that's there. But just interesting, because I don't think Chris Jones being traded in the offseason would garner near as much of a conversation back and forth around the NFL as Tyreek Hill did. But I think it would be more detrimental to the Chiefs than Tyreek Hill was. Not that Tyreek Hill wasn't a stud. Patrick Mahomes can overcome some of that. Nick Bolton and Willie Gay and those guys aren't going to, and the young secondary is not going to overcome what Chris Jones can do on the field.
I thought it was interesting, just in that sort of word association game, that Cynthia corresponded Chris Jones more closely to Mahomes than to Hill in sort of the impact for the unit. Now, again, no one's going to be as impactful as your quarterback. But even as somebody who generally subscribes to the idea that it's important to have a lot of good parts, you don't want to star and scrub your defense more often than not because it's a weak link game. Maybe that's true for the offensive line as well, right?
Yeah.
But you need to have one of those guys that does change how offenses plan for you.
Yeah.
And Chris Jones is that guy at as high a level as anyone in the sport right now. He might be on the same level with Micah Parsons, who's been unreal. If you really want to pick nits and say he's one and Chris Jones could never, fine. He is among the elite of the elite in the entire league this season. And this is not moving in the wrong direction for him production-wise. He looks more comfortable at edge this year when they've used him there in the more limited work.
Good point.
He's been dominant in the middle. And when you watch, like, again, I use Colin Saunders' name here all the time in these comparisons. I think Colin Saunders is a nice player, a physical, total anomaly, and he's had the opportunity to grow in that role. But I don't think we're talking about Colin Saunders this year if Chris Jones isn't on the team. You're talking about Colin Saunders and Derek Nnadi next to each other, or even before the injury, Colin Saunders and Tershawn Wharton. I really like all those guys whose names I just mentioned. Their jobs all change drastically because Chris Jones is next to them.
If Micah Parsons did not exist, one, it'd be a lesser NFL because it's a blast watching him play because the Chiefs haven't played the Cowboys this year. And they don't play him. You know, if they play him in the Super Bowl, then I'm not going to be a fan of number 11 for the Cowboys existing. He's minus 1,200 to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Good Lord.
Is Micah Parsons. To put that into perspective, the MVP, Mahomes, is minus 160. The Defensive Player of the Year is minus 1,200, Micah Parsons. If he didn't exist, I do wonder what the betting odds would look like for the rest of them. Bosa, Judon, Chris Jones are the next three in line. In that order.
And those Nick are three Bosa, more traditional pass rushers. You know, Parsons is a Cowboy. That certainly helps. Like
Bosa, Edge, Judon, Edge, and then Chris Jones and Max Crosby are tied. I didn't see that. Max Crosby's listed behind Chris Jones. Maybe just the C as opposed to M.
Yeah,
maybe that's
sure.
what they're going with.
Right.
But they're both listed at plus 2,500. So Jones and Max Crosby. So you've got Edge, Edge, defensive tackle, Edge.
Yeah.
There. So you're seeing the impact of what he's doing at defensive tackle.
Good point. Yep.
Without having a dominant Edge out there to help him, you know, along the way and some of that. So, yeah, he's if Micah Parsons just sat out this year for some reason,
yep.
you know, what would the defensive player of the year running look like? I can tell you this. He'd still be in the mix.
Yes.
It would, even
those,
if he was
those
the second
three
or third.
Those three or four guys you just yeah. mentioned would have a legit competition for the remainder of this season.
Bosa's plus 1,100, Judon's plus 1,700, and Chris Jones is plus 2,500. So Bosa is the leader in the clubhouse,
sure.
if not for Parsons, but not to a margin that it's minus 1,200
yep.
for that. There would be legit conversation about, is Chris Jones the defensive player of the year? Because he is playing his best football as a 28-year-old, and I don't feel like in the NFL, the way that we viewed aging and diminished production when you get to 30, 31, 32 as the same today as we used to. So if Chris Jones is 29 years old and signs a extension and is with the Chiefs for 29, 30, and 31, yeah, you do that. You absolutely do that because Chris Jones not on the field is really, really impactful for this defense and might be the second most precious health and non-injury that the Chiefs have on this team. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.